Today we are going to discuss the fascinating topic. Before we get to Pesach stuff, we're in the middle of Tazria Mitzora, which is like a big turnoff, right? Because who wants to learn about Saras and no one's paying attention to, right? So we're going to, everybody knows that back in the day, there was this thing called Saras, and it was a spiritual disease. Everybody knows this stuff. The question is, why doesn't it exist today? Now, that question could be understood in a few ways. One way to ask the question is, there seem to be a few people saying Lashon Hara. And I don't see anybody getting Saras. Like, that's one way to ask the question. Yeah.
Or could be the answer to that question. Actually, I'm sorry. I thought you were asking how to answer that question, I guess. I didn't know you were asking questions. No, I'm just saying, isn't that like either you answer, like one answer is that we're not getting on a high enough level to obtain it? Because we've fallen so much that Tzaras won't really affect us.
Okay, so one way to look at it is that even though Tzaras seems to be a pretty difficult thing to deal with, being sent outside the machane, having to tell everybody that you're Tomei, and not being allowed to be with your wife for a while, there's like a lot of things here that are very difficult. But nonetheless, it's a warning shot, and warning shots, and a Kaddish Baruch Hu that cares about someone is gonna give him a warning shot. You know what I mean by that, right? I mean, like, if you care about somebody, you're gonna do what you can to make sure that they're doing okay. It may not be pleasant, but you want to take care of them, yeah. So maybe we're not on such a relationship with Hashem anymore. Maybe it has to start upon him. The idea that Hashem is hiding his face, maybe that's part of that. So okay, that's what Ariel suggests. Another way to ask the question is, what happened to like the halachos over here? So can we discuss the halachos for a minute?
Yeah.
How many mitzvahs are there? Let me ask this a slightly different way. Do any of the mitzvahs of Saras apply today?
No.
You'd think like none of them, right? Okay, it's not so simple. There are six mitzvahs, maybe seven, that we're gonna quickly list. You ready? The Rambam lists three mitzvahs that are controversial because, well, tell me what you think about this. If the Torah says there are halachos of Saras Nizgan, there are halachos of Saras on the clothes, and there are halachos of Saras on the house, what are you supposed to do about that? You hear what I'm asking? And there's most mitzvahs are a behavior. Do this, don't do this. But when the Torah says that this is a fact, this Saras that happens in certain situations, is there a mitzvah there? You hear the question or no? Is the Torah simply describing a reality and there's nothing to really do about it because it's just a fact? Yeah? Or is the Torah saying, no, this is what you have to do. The Kohen has to look at it and you have to, and maybe there's behaviors, or maybe even if there aren't any behaviors, it's just a fact. You become Tamei. Maybe that's a mitzvah. Can anyone argue that? Look, if a person touches a dead body under the tent of the dead Jew, yeah? He becomes Tamei Mace, yes?
Yes.
Is that a mitzvah? What's the mitzvah?
Take care of
it. It's a fact, right? I mean, to bury him is a mitzvah. But Tumas Meis, it's a fact. It just is. So if there's going to be a mitzvah, so this is a machlokas Rambam and Ramban. The Ramban says, you can't count such a thing as a mitzvah because what are you supposed to do? Yeah? Now, there are going to be mitzvahs that revolve around it. If you're a Kohen, you can't do that.
Yeah?
Yeah? Okay, you can't go to Beis HaMikdash. So they're going
to
be mitzvahs.
Does he have a mitzvah to check the Saras? Like, does he get a mitzvah that checks the Saras?
We'll talk about it, sort of. Okay. Yeah. So, okay.
I'm just already coming to conclusions, but my head's run into maybe talking about the Kohen checking the Saras on the house.
Good. So that at least would be behavior. That would make total sense, right? So the Rambam disagrees with the Ramban and holds that to follow the rules of Tumah, yeah, Avi, maybe that's what you were describing before, to follow the rules of Tumah, that is the mitzvah.
Right.
So it's a fact that it exists, but who says, you know, you have to do anything about it? So to follow the rules, that's how it would be a mitzvah. So the Rambam lists three mitzvahs in Tazria, which are to follow the rules of skin, clothes, and house, and then what everyone can agree about. In this week's parasha, I don't know if you noticed this. Did you notice that last week is mostly about Tumah? This week is about Tahara. Hmm. Yeah, what do you do now for the Mitzvah? Yeah? So there are three mitzvahs, what to do about it, which are second. You run over here. Idina Tuma. Sorry. Here. Number one. To be metaher him, which, do you know how you do that? There's certain elements and things you have to get, like the two birds and the red string and a little stick. No? Vaguely? Yeah, no one learns this stuff. So anyway, so certain things you have to do to be metaher him that the Kohen's going to do. So there's a process of being metaher him. That's a behavior, that's a mitzvah. That's easy. Number two, shaving his entire body from hair. Yeah, all that's...
That's crazy.
Bunched up and visible, which means payas, beard, like the whole thing is shaved off. That's number two. And number three, to bring his korbanos. Now, I want to explain this just so you can file this away in your mind. Did you know that every person that converts to Judaism has to bring a korban? No. There are three parts, three components to converting. Yeah? There's having a bris milah if you're a male. There's tevila in the mikvah, even if you're female. And there's a korban to be brought. And of course, the essence of gerus, of converting, is accepting the mitzvos, right? So, but that's not really like a behavior. I mean, whatever, it's okay. But four components, if you will. The essence of it is accepting the mitzvos. The behaviors are mila, tevila, and korban. Yeah? So, what is, does that mean you can't convert today?
No.
You hear the question? Can't bring a korban, right? So what do you do about that? So the answer is that, but we do the other things maybe, you know. But here, maybe you're not converted. So you know what the answer is?
We learn the instructions, the laws of the conversion offering, so that it's like as if.
So that's interesting. I would have suggested that that maybe every convert has to actually recite the psukim, like we learned before. Yeah.
What's with the big rag?
That's the new YU mascot.
Yeah, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Why
are you so
okay, we'll talk about this later. But we'll
anyway, so
I'm so confused.
I know, same. But we'll talk about this later.
The role of that korban is to be able to participate in the Beis Hamikdash. Yeah, to be able to participate in the Beis Hamikdash, they have to bring that korban. They're fully converted before that. They're not allowed to be involved in the Beis Hamikdash until that. So it's a stage of like relationship with the Mikdash. Well, if there isn't one, then there isn't really a loss. The Metzora is in the same category. A little bit. He has to do a bunch of things, and one of them is a korban. That for sure you can't do Bizman Azeh. Everyone's going to agree to that. Yeah? But what about the birds? What about being Metaher him? Okay, you can't bring the korban. You hear what I'm saying now? Just like a convert can convert, but they just can't bring their korban, because nobody's a Mikdash, but they're fully converted. So too, if you have a person that has a saras, so why can't you do everything except the korban? Yeah? No? Okay, good. So those are six mitzvos, yeah? Three that have to do with Tumah V'Tahara, Rambam versus Ramban. Three, and this is parasha, have to do with the process of being Mitarim, the birds and the string and the stick, and then shaving off all his hair. And number three, his korban. Now, again, controversial. There is a Sefer HaChinuch. You guys all know what Sefer HaChinuch is? What is it? The Sefer HaChinuch is a sefer that lists all of the mitzvos. Yes?
Yes.
So he has basically four sections in every mitzvah. A, what's the mitzvah? B, why? Which is the coolest part. Sefer HaChinuch, the coolest part is that he discusses the reasons for the mitzvahs. C, number three, he always like lists basic details. So it's like scratching the surface of like what is it about? And then D, who does it apply to and does it apply today? That's like the last part he says. So when he talks about Taras, what do you think he said? So he gets involved with all of these elements. And he says there's another mitzvah. There's a mitzvah of going to the Kohen if you have a Taras issue. Yeah? So what's the mitzvah? What's the behavior?
To go to the Kohen.
In other words, if a person, Chas v'Shalom, gets sick, this is, so to speak, the mitzvah, go to the doctor. Get it diagnosed. Yeah? No person may not want to go get it diagnosed because, like, you know, that may have consequences. But at the same time, people feel that way. There's an anxiety going to doctors. We all feel, correct? Because you're kind of afraid that they may find something. So, but you want to make sure you don't get sick. You want to make sure to heal yourself.
But also there's a huge correlation with you don't have it until the Kohen says you have it.
Mm. Yeah, I was about to say, isn't there a difference? Because the Kohen basically gives you the tumor. The doctor doesn't like say, oh, because you have this symptom, you now have the disease.
Okay, so you're good. You're saying good. There happens to be one opinion that says you're wrong. It's like a big Kiddush, huge Kiddush. We never learn like that, right? But the Yaivitz in one place actually says that.
Like a thing that you take all the furniture out of your house.
Yeah.
You don't get it.
Right. Yeah.
So then how does he argue that?
Maybe if your shirt applies over there, maybe it's different by things that are not so clear. Yeah, I don't know. He seems to say that you only need the coin. He seems to say you only need a coin for things that are not poshut. Anyway, but yeah, but you're right. We're going to work with that because that's what we generally, that's what we assume. Everybody else says like that. It depends on the coin. Okay, good. But v'huva el koin, there's the Zohar HaKadosh. Yeah, the Zohar HaKadosh writes that when the pasuk says v'huva el koin, that we have a responsibility, Klal Yisrael maybe, has a responsibility to make sure that if a person has some kind of mark that he thinks, suspects, might be tzaras, that he has to go to the Kohen, and the Rosh, and the Kohen says that we trust him to do it. Because, listen, you got a mitzvah to do, man. You got to do the mitzvahs.
Wait, how do you know that you have the force, that you're the force? And can you see on the skin, and maybe decide yourself that when you see that might be tzaras, and like you force him, I guess?
Bezdin has a responsibility to make sure that people do mitzvahs and that.
It's like, otherwise we'll just be chilling. Oh, I might have tzaraas, but oh, if I never go, then I'm not going to be put outside the community or whatever.
Okay, so we have seven mitzvahs. Yeah, seven mitzvahs. The Tumah and the Tahara, I don't know what we're going to do with that Bezmanizet because, we don't really deal with Tumah and Tahara Bezmanizet. Okay, because there's no Bezmanizet there, so what's the Nafkamina? Like, what's the difference, you know? But what about the process of being mitahir him? What about shaving off his hair? Korban, again, we're going to get out of because there's no place to make dash. But the third one would be, what about this mitzvah of the Sefer Chinuch to go or to bring someone to the Kohen? Yeah? So that's what we want to know. What exactly happened to this? So Rav Asher Weiss, who gave a shir on this topic, fascinating. You have to know who he is. He's an unbelievable personality. He comes from a Hasidish background. He learns Torah like a Litvak. And he speaks like in Teaneck and he has like a foot in every world. Like everybody relates to him. He's a very special person, and he's like a big Rosh Hashiva. He's like, he's unbelievable. The Posek Shari Tzedek. He's a Posek of Shari Tzedek. He's huge. So he has a bunch of things he's written. In any case, he gave a shiur on this a few years back. So these are notes from that year. So he has a following question. I'm just, again, this is just a footnote. So file this away because I know you guys like lumdus and like to learn interesting things. If there's a mitzvah to be done and it doesn't have a specific time, like what? Like going to the Kohen. Yeah? When are you supposed to go to the Kohen? When you have a mark. At what time? Which day? How long? Right? There's no detail like that. Well, it's a mitzvah that doesn't depend on time.
Just assumed as soon as possible.
Yeah. There's reason makdim and limitzvah. You want to do something right away, right?
Yeah.
What?
You can always like pass over it. Then.
Yeah. So the question is, when do you violate it?
When you can no longer, like when you die. That's when you die.
Yeah. So this is a big machlokes between the Rambam and the Ravid by Bris Mila.
Yeah.
At a certain point, when a child becomes bar mitzvah, becomes aware that he didn't get a Bris Mila, so he has a responsibility to get himself a Bris Mila. When is he considered violating an asay? A mitzvah is los asay. You violate it by transgressing it. But an asay, what?
As soon as he knows he has to do it.
So that's one opinion. Another opinion is no. When he dies, and now he can't. Must have been a long time ago.
I think.
So that comes up over here, and Rav Asher Weiss quotes a fascinating Chazanish, but we'll skip it for now. But that's a fascinating issue, just to be aware of. There is a concept of what. Do you guys remember what it's called when you don't perform a mitzvah sase?
Oh, I forget what it's called.
This we did speak about recently.
Yeah, I actually do remember this.
Yeah.
I don't remember what it's called, but I remember you speaking about it.
How do you say to nullify something? Like, let's say yes. So how do you say in our case? How does it apply?
Wait, what do you say?
Batel. Right. Something becomes nullified. Like it's batel b'shishim.
Batel the mitzvahs.
It's called a bit in the present tense. Yeah, a bitel assay. A bitel assay is the term for not fulfilling an assay. In any case, file that away. Good, fine. So when exactly a person would violate this is an interesting question. But here is what he wants to know. What happened to this mitzvah, or these mitzvos, bizman hazeh? Yeah? Did you know the Chofetz Chaim has a whole sefer called Sefer Mitzvos HaKotzer, where he collects all of the mitzvahs that are applicable today? So you can go through all of the mitzvahs that are applicable bizman hazeh.
Right. Doesn't this question start at the, like, where is the tzeras, and not, like, where is the mitzvah?
Well, that, right. I think you have a point. But let's say a person gets like a funny mark that could be tzeras.
Should he then go?
Yeah, you know, it doesn't apply. Does it not apply?
No, it is. But he might just want to wait like 2 weeks to see if it goes away.
But in the times of Beis Hamikdash, that would have been the same thing. But he had a mitzvah to go to the kohen according to that mitzvah.
So then the argument is that you. So let's say a mark shows up on me right now. The argument would be, since we can't do a korban, I shouldn't have to go.
No, well, you might want to say that, but you'd have to prove that. Yeah. Because the opposite would be, what does that have to do with the korban? Like I argued, the korban is. Okay, so here are some sources. Ready for this? So it says in the Tosefta that it applies ba'aretz v'chutz la'aretz. Okay, you know, we would get out of that. Give me the argument to get out of that. It applies in Eretz Yisrael and in chutz la'aretz. You'll say, yeah, but maybe only during the times of Beis HaMikdash or something like that. Like, just because it applies in chutz la'aretz doesn't mean it necessarily applies b'zman hazeh, right? So the problem is that there's another medrash which dissects the pasuk Zois Tihyeh Torah Samatzera. This will be the laws of the Matzera. Tihyeh is extra in that pasuk. This will be. What do you mean will be? So guess what the guest of the medrash says. Will be.
Come on.
When will it be? Come on.
When it comes back.
When there's no Beis HaMikdash, and any time. This will be no matter what. So there is such a medrash that learns that in that pasuk, the word Tihyeh in that pasuk, which is extra, actually means it applies all time. The Rambam paskins this way. I will quote to you from the Rambam. Number right, Taras Mitzayra. If you want to look it up in Perak Yud Aleph from Tumas Saras Alech Abov. Taras Mitzayra Zuno Heges Ba'aretz V'Chutz La'aretz. It applies in Eretz Yisrael and in the. Come on, what's a fancy word for Chutz La'aretz? Diaspora. Very good. Shmutz La'aretz. B'vnei Abayas. Shlomi Abayas. In the times of Beis HaMikdash and not in the times of the Beis HaMikdash. Yeah. So the Rambam paskins is straight up. Straight up. Rambam paskins applies nowadays. Good.
Good.
Why is nobody mocking on this? Why are there no Kohanim paskening this? Why is nobody doing this? What is going on? Ever seen anybody shave all their hair because they had saras, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, saras?
I haven't seen anyone have saras.
I haven't seen anybody have saras, huh? I don't know. There's like skin disease.
Ezra told me he plans on saras. It goes away.
Nobody has saras nowadays.
I am. How'd you know?
So, you ready? Are your bunny ears up?
The laws of Nivu.
Your bunny ears up? Listen to this. So, the Sefer HaChinuch, remember I told you Sefer HaChinuch has four components, everything he talks about? He talks about what the mitzvah is, talks about the reason, he talks about some details, and he says who and when, and it applies. So what does he say? You ready? So I want you to be careful. Careful, bunny ears up for nuance. Ready? Here we go. Sefer HaChinuch writes, these mitzvos of Tumas Taras and Taharas HaTaras, no heges, apply, kol zman sheyesh kohen, as long as there is a kohen, habaki. You know what baki means?
Baki? Yeah. Baki is someone that's smart and knows what they're
doing. Yeah, an expert. Exactly. Yeah? As long as there's a kohen that's an expert, bimaros ha-negoyim, in the colors and nuances of the negoyim. End quote. What do you think what does he say? In your own words. When does it apply? When does it not apply? Does it apply to someone?
Basically, no kohen is like that knowledgeable to know what's a mum and what's not or whatever.
Okay.
What's a...
So it only applies when you have a kohen that knows what he's talking about.
Nowadays, like,
is that like a good? Well, you're asking a good question. Before we get to that, is that like a good way to say it applies or doesn't apply? Bizman hazeh?
Well, it's not time bound. It's not like that's it. If it's only based on that, it doesn't matter. Time
so does it apply today or doesn't apply today?
It applies in the sense that if someone is like if some guy learns it, then it applies.
If some guy wants to say, "Oh yeah, I'm an expert."
No, there are other things. Because I'll say there are other things.
Depends.
So that's a little weird, right? In other words, what do you mean it depends on if there's an expert or not? Meaning, so it does apply, but you can't do it? What's another way of saying that? It applies, but there's nothing you can do about it. Too bad on you. What's another way of saying that?
Maybe you can only go up.
Are you
going to
be punished for that? Well, of course not, because what? What's the rule?
You say there's not an expert.
And therefore, I can't do anything about it, so God won't punish me. What's that principle? God won't punish me when there's nothing I can do about it. What do we call that? Oh.
Oh. Shalom.
Oh, no. Close. Oh. What?
Ones.
Ones rachonopatre. Yes? Ones means it's beyond your control. Literally, ones means rape. You know that? Literally, it means rape. That it means when a person is forced, it's beyond their control. It's beyond your control.
Doesn't
ones
mean accident?
And ones means beyond your control. There's nothing you could do about it. Ones rachonopatre, when there is a situation of ones, of compulsion, of force, then the person's not liable for that. That is the principle. So, wait, what's the Sefer Chinuch saying? It's not pshat that it doesn't apply bizman hazeh, right? You gotta use your thumb. It's not pshat it doesn't apply bizman hazeh. Pshat is you can't do anything about it because you don't have a kohen that knows the story.
How do you spell
Aleph, Vav, Nun, Samach. So, something you guys said answers this question I'm asking right now. I'm asking a question. I'm saying Sefer Chinuch is saying something that's very difficult because it does apply bizman hazeh. He's saying it doesn't. It only applies when you have a kohen that can paskin it. But that's not true. It applies even when you don't have a kohen that can paskin it. It's just you're stuck.
But we're just all Otis.
So why? Right. So why doesn't he say that? What is he saying?
Because he wants it eventually will apply.
What? He wants to announce that the mitzvah is still there.
You guys said this already. You said this already. You're not making the connection.
It doesn't exist anymore.
Why would it not exist if you don't have a kohen that can pass in it?
Because there's no Beit HaMikdash. There's no Beit HaMikdash.
No.
No, because a kohen basically makes the disease.
I can't hear really at the same time.
What? A kohen makes the disease.
Right. Is that what you said?
Yeah, the kohen makes the disease. Well,
yeah, it doesn't exist without the kohen. In other words, if there's no kohen of Haskin, it's not pshat you have it, but you can't do anything about it. Pshat is, you don't have it.
There's no kohen.
Yeah, so if you assume, it's beautiful, no? If you learn like that, then what the Sefer Chinuch is really saying is that because it depends on the kohen's psak, and there is no kohen that can give the psak, then it doesn't apply.
How? Because, like, let's just say you're living in your house and you got stuff growing on your walls.
You might.
I think that's pretty obvious that you have tiras. You don't need
something. So, Rav Yaakov Emden says that. But if you learn like that, then I don't think the Sefer Chinuch makes any sense. And Rav Yaakov Emden is like a das yachid on this. Everyone assumes that even if you have a mark, but if there's no coin to paskin it, it doesn't have a status and a halacha.
But it doesn't take it away. Like, if you have it on your skin, it's not going to go away.
It will not go away.
But someone saw it, but it's not saras.
Okay, but wrong.
It's not saras, but like
leprosy. Right.
It's leprosy, but no, we haven't seen leprosy in forever. It doesn't matter.
The disease, the physical disease, skin disease?
I think so.
Yeah, no, you can look it up. Yeah.
That's crazy. I'm on it right now.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You said that.
The Gemara, there's a medrash. You want to listen to this medrash? There's a medrash. Let me find it 1 second. Page 2 over here. Here, listen to this. In the Torah Kohanim, which is a medrash on Vayikra, it says, Amar of Yehuda, that I was walking behind Rabbi Tarfon to his house. Yeah? I didn't realize Rabbi Tarfon was a kohen until I learned this, yeah? On Shabbos, we learned this in Shul, and someone says, oh, so Rabbi Tarfon was a kohen? I'm like, well, I guess so. And they looked it up, and Taka, he was a kohen. Amar li, Yehuda b'ni, Yehuda my son, tain li sandali, pass me my shoe. And Asathi, and I gave him a shoe. Pasha yada l'chalain, he stuck his hand into the window, v'nasen li makil, and he handed me, like, I don't know, a stick, a walking stick, a stick, I don't know, some kind of stick. Well, Amar li, he said to me, Yehuda, bizu, with this, Tiharti Shlesha Mitzarayim. I purified, I was Mitaher, 3 Mitzarayim. Rabbi Tarfon! That's Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Akiva, right? I mean, they were contemporaries. It was after the Second Temple was destroyed. Rabbi Tarfon says he was Mitaher, 3 Mitzarayim with that stick. No?
What does that mean,
Mitaher? Sounds like the purification process with the 2 birds and the red string and a stick.
Like he did this to other people.
I don't know. You know, if that means like a metaphoric thing, I don't know. But that's a medrash. That's a retarfon was entire thing. It's all right.
So you don't need a base of mikdash for tzaras.
Okay. So at this point, Rav Asher Weiss says, I don't understand. You want me to believe that all the Kohanim, the holy Kohanim, they've lost the Mesorah on what it means to neged tzaras? I mean, like, we pass on the Mesorah about things that are applicable all the time, you know? Like, Dam Nida. Like, this is what you do Shimush for when you become a rabbi. One of the things, to be able to pass Nida Shilas. So you have to know what's red, what's not red. You know, like, you gotta look at these Badika cloths. So what happened to the Mesorah stuff? Why don't we have diagrams? Why don't we have... How do we lose Mesorah?
You have my take?
Yeah.
To be an expert, you need to see if it works, so to say. I feel like
in order to, like, you diagnose it, right?
Yeah.
You think you're an expert, and you do the whole process, but you can't do the core one, maybe, even though we discussed you can, whatever.
Yeah.
But, like, that, it doesn't go away. It can't go away because you can't do the process.
Okay.
You'll never be able to identify it. So
good. I think you have something. I think you're onto something. Well, Professor Weiss is going to say something very similar at the end, so hold on to that thought. Hold on to that thought. Now, you ready? We're going to shift. We're going to shift a little. It's very hot in here. We're going to shift. Yeah, it works.
It feels cold, or is this a fan?
Oh, I don't know.
You can open the window. Okay, anyway. Ready? Chevra. Chevra, there's a Mishnah is called Teferis Yisrael. Teferis Yisrael is like one of the commentaries on the Mishnahs. Your typical old school parish on Mishnahs. Yes? He wrote an introduction. Well, let me see if you guys know this. Ready? Who knows the name of the Masechta, the Mishnahs? Who knows the name of the Masechta that discusses Tzaras? Masechas what? What? What's the name of the Mishnahs that discuss Tzaras? Masechas?
I'm cheating.
I'll give you a hint. It's all about Tzaraz. I mean, it's all about Tzaraz.
Well,
it's not called Tzaraz. What?
Nagam.
That's the one.
No,
that's the one. That's the one. You didn't know what you were saying.
It just means
Nagam. It says, Masechas Nagam is the Masech that discusses Tzaraz. Why is it called Nagam? Nega Tzaraz, right? Nega Tzaraz. So, okay, good. So, the Teferis Yisrael has an introduction to Negoim that he calls Mare Kohen. Mare Kohen. Mare Kohen. Mare Kohen. Mare What does Mare Kohen mean in that?
The face.
He that we say
the
sight.
Yeah.
How it was awesome! It was awesome. The Kohen Gadol went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, atoned for Klal Yisrael, came out was shining, radiating kedusha. Wow, Mare Kohen, the vision of the Kohen when he left the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So he named his commentary Hakdama to Negoim Mare Kohen. Why? Because he said it's a play on words. What the coin had to see. The Mari coin, what the coin had to see. Yeah, you get it?
So
the nega? Okay, anyway, in his Akdama, I don't know if you're going to believe this, but he asks this question. What happened to Tzaras Bizman Azeh? And he means like the halachas. Like what happened to Tzaras Bizman Azeh? Yeah? He said he asked this to Rabbi Akiva Eger. And Rabbi Akiva Eger said, I don't have a good answer. You know what that means? It means Rabbi Akiva Eger plied Shver. Okay, you're not going to get it, but that's really funny. Rabbi Akiva Eger has a lot of times that he says, Sarach Ian. Sarach Ian. Rabbi Akiva Eger's Sarach Ian when he has in the Gemara, like a little note, says, like, Sarach Ian, you got to think about this. Nobody knows, like, how to answer those questions. They're, like, impossible answers. So Rabbi Akiva Eger said, Sarach Ian here, too. He doesn't know what happened over here. So the Teferis Yisrael himself says, so I want to suggest something. You ready for this? Who's the Kohen here?
Robbie is.
No. Maybe. No Kohen? No Kohen? DC is a Kohen?
DC
is a Kohen? Any other Kohen? I think there was someone else. Wasn't someone else a Kohen this year? No? Okay, anyway. No offense to the Kohen, but there aren't too many Kohen, if any, that actually know for sure that they're Kohanim. Do you know what I'm talking about?
You're a half-brother.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit of an issue. You know, nowadays, if you have a... If you're not a Levi, and your wife doesn't come from a Kohen or a Levi, and you have a baby boy that, Mirz Hashem, won't be after any miscarriages, there's a mitzvah to be done with that boy. What is it?
Pidyon HaBen.
What do Pidyon HaBen?
You gotta get a Kohen, you gotta get the three coins.
You get five Sloim. theoretically five shkalim, and you give it to the Kohen. Yeah? Now, if the Kohen doesn't really know he's a Kohen, finish that sentence. It's not fair. How can he take your money, right? So we assume he is, and we give it with a full heart, but you should know there are Kohanim that will return it to you for that reason. Yeah? When I did my Pidur Ben on my Bechor, so Rav Yitzchak Kohn, you guys, some of you remember him. So, see, he was my Kohen. So I expected to give it to him. He would keep them. At the end of the Suda, whatever, at some point, he gave me a sealed envelope, jiggle, 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 with coins in it, and a little note. You know, I forgot what the note said already, but I have it still in my box at home. You know, it was very, very cute. Anyway, so it's a little bit of a suffix if the Kohen is actually a Kohen. Okay, you ready? You ready? Think this through. What did we say? What did we say was the mitzvah to do bisman hazeh that might apply today? We said number one, taharas hametzorah, the birds, the red string, the stick, right? Number two, who remembers number two? Shaving, yeah. And then number three, going to the Kohen, yeah. What? Talk to me about shaving bisman hazeh. Talk to me about this mitzvah of shaving off all his hair. You're violating a bunch of things, right? But
you should not round.
If you're doing a mitzvah, then that's not a problem, right? Because Asi Dogalos will say whatever, yeah? But if the Kohen
doesn't say anything.
If the Kohen doesn't know that, and he can't really say that this is Saras, how are you going to shave? You with me? What's the next step? No, it's to go to the Kohen wouldn't help us with this. This wouldn't help us with that, right?
Oh,
but if you're gonna say that he's not necessarily Kohen, then that means that Mark is not necessarily Saras. And if it's not necessarily Saras, if you shave, you're violating Averis. All your hairs, I shave off all your hair.
It's the same thing why we don't have we don't have shotness in our tzitzis, because we don't know the actual tchiler.
Right,
so it's like the same thing. We can't do that. We can't
say legitimately. Good. So that's a very interesting point that Tiferes Yisrael was mentioning. Wow, we didn't think of that. Who wants to ask the Kasha to raise his role? Now, everything I said today all depends on each other. It's crazy, right? There are three mitzvahs in last week's parsha. There's tumas, skin,
clothes and bias.
So why tuma on the skin wouldn't apply? And you can't shave because you can't paskin it. Okay, but what about
the clothes in the house?
Yeah, but clothes now, so why shouldn't that apply, right? There's no shaving involved over there. So you know what he says? Everybody knows there's a principle that if someone wants to take your money, you have to prove to take it away from him, right? You can't just go to somebody and say, hi, those are my shoes.
No, mine.
Well, how do you know? No, they're mine.
No, mine.
Give me my shoes. if you're wearing the shoes, right? I have to prove they're mine. And I can't take in a bezin and say, those are my shoes. He's wearing my shoes. Give me the shoes. What do we call that principle? Hamotzi?
What brand are they?
Hamotzi mechavero?
What brand are they?
I really don't know, honestly. I've seen everybody wear these. I don't even know what it says.
They're fairly new.
They're
clearly not yours.
Oh, right. That's approved. Hamotzi mechavero levaraya. Yeah, you have to prove that you should take it away. Wait. So think it through. So if the coin's going to say you have to do whatever you're going to do to the clothes, cut it out, throw it out, burn it, take out the stone, how can he do that if he's not necessarily a coin, right? Motzi mechavero levaraya. You hear it or no?
Yeah.
Yeah? Why is that not so simple? Well, what about Pidyon Aben? We do Pidyon Aben. We don't say Pidyon Aben doesn't apply because it's not a coin.
Yeah, that's a mitzvah to Oraisa.
Well, because it's my mitzvah. Yeah, but I'm saying he's not necessarily Kohen. How can he keep the money? What is that? I'm mochel maybe. What? Anyway, it's not so simple, right? Because a motzi mechaver levaraya means a Kohen is saying, give me your money, you know? So you don't have to do it. You can prove it. But here, if you want to fulfill the mitzvah, what's the problem? So it's not so simple. But that is what the Tiferes Yisrael says in his Hakdama called... What's the name of the saver? The name of the Hakdama? Mari Kohen. Okay. That's a Shaila. His idea has a little bit of a hole in it, but it's a fascinating thought. Finally, and it's really not finally, but finally in this regard, Rav Asher White says, so what about this idea
that there's a mitzvah to go to the Kohen. What about that? So first thing he points out is what Justin was saying, is that the Pasuk says that this is the mitzvah l'taro o l'tama'o, to make him tar or to make him tame. So Rav Asher Weiss suggests that maybe they're dependent one on another, yeah? Based on the Pasuk. That these are the mitzvahs of Taras, to make him tame, to make him tar, meaning they go together. So if you can't do one, you can't do the other. Like, if there's no tuma v'tara, there's not a zen, there's no so maybe they depend on each other, and that's why you wouldn't even have a mitzvah to go. But say better. The halacha is, maybe Coop knows this. Did you know that there are certain situations that we for sure allow a person to not go to the Kohen right away?
Oh, the thing with the... Actually, that's not going. I don't know.
If a guy's a chassan, he's just getting married. He gets like a nega, and he's afraid this is saras. This is bad news. I don't know what the wedding picture is going to look like, but it's bad news for him, yeah? So he doesn't really want to... So he doesn't have to go. That's halacha straight up. So he doesn't have to go to the Kohen. That for sure he's allowed to push off going to the Kohen. So, litzurich mitzvah, for sure you're allowed to delay. It's not considered a bitl asay, in other words. You're not mevatel asay when you push it off because you're getting married, you're doing a mitzvah, or whatever. And it could be even for a dvar rishus we would allow, meaning a non-mitzvah purpose. But there's a reason why you're delaying. Could be that's also not considered delaying, because delaying means you're not doing it. But if you're in the process of doing it, it just takes time. Like, for example, person's going to go to the Kohen, right? But he lives in Sfas, and the Kohen, I don't know, there's no Kohen anywhere nearby. He has to travel. Is he violating an Aveira and not going to the Kohen while he's driving? He's on his way. What do you want him to do? Teleport? And only so many Teletubbies around here. How's he? He has to take time.
But Teletubbies can teleport?
I didn't think so. Why'd you say that?
Does Rebbe know the teleporter, Rebbe?
Not personally.
It's crazy.
Actually, he was not. Not in my time.
One time, like, he came to Imre. He was there. And literally the next day, I saw him post a picture of him in New York. I'm like, what the heck? And then he's back in Israel the day after. Does not make any sense.
I think it's because he teleported.
I met him for so long. You know, he's a veteran for 30 seconds. Shook his hand, told him my name. He said, have a good day.
Is that a lie?
2 days ago, he came up to me.
I heard he's a coach.
Whoa.
I think he has to be, like, have...
Okay, so let me finish. Let me finish. So, in terms of this mitzvah, going to the Kohen, so we're going to say for sure, Bizman Azeh, since the Kohen can't necessarily do anything about it, and he's a Suffolk Kohen, and all the reasons we've been saying, and if you have a Negataras, and he tells you it's a Negataras, and there's no way to be Mitahir yourself, perhaps, from the Negataras, can't shave, Suffolk Kohen. So, for sure, there's going to be a bunch of mitzvahs you're not going to be able to do, like be with your wife and all kinds of things. If you become tummy, it's a ras. So, for sure, we would allow a person to delay for those reasons.
Can you independently delay it then?
Yeah. So, you wouldn't be violating that aveira. Yes? Ad kan, halacha section of this fascinating topic. Are you ready for the final section? You're not really ready. But I'm going to ask you guys to listen carefully to this. Are you ready? I'm going to ask you to listen carefully, because I'm about to read you from the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim said something absolutely unbelievable. He asked this question in his own way. What happened to Taras Bizman Hazeh? And the way he asked it was, there are so many people, unfortunately, they're not being careful with Lashon Hara. There are a lot of people.
Of course.
And Hashem says, the Torah says, that one of the reasons for Taras is Lashon Hara. So how can it be there's so many people saying Lashon Hara, they're not getting Taras? You hear that? So Ariel offered a reason. I want to tell you what the Chafetz Chaim says. I have to say, it's a little terrifying.
Well, no, because basically...
Oh, is it that we all have it? We just, like, see it in general?
No, it's
we all have
that
it,
yeah. Certain cases...
It's invisible. We all have it.
...are bad enough that you're just going to get your punishment in the next world.
Okay.
You're just not going to get trust now.
So he bases it on the following pasuk in Mishlei. Who wrote Mishlei?
Shlomo.
Shlomo Amel. You ready for this? Listen carefully to the nuance in the pasuk. Shomer, piv, ulishono. What's a shomer?
Guard.
Piv?
Face, mouth.
And lishono? Shomer, piv, ulishono. One who guards. His mouth and his tongue. Shomer is guarding. Guards. Mitzaros. What's a tzara?
Pain.
Pain. Nafsho.
of his soul.
Upon who guards his mouth and his tongue, guards pain from his soul.
Ooh, you're right.
Push it. Push it, right? Because if you don't want to have pain for your soul, you don't want to suffer Ganem, you know? Onon te lashonara, you know? Guard, be careful what you say. Push it, right? The Medrash says, where is this Medrash? Yalkut Shemoini, Parshas Metzora, Remez Tuf, Kuf, Nun, Vav. It has a play on words. Soros, Sadi, Reish, Vav Saf, means pain, trouble, yeah? Soros, yeah? Yeah? Saras sounds similar, but adds an ayin. Saras, yeah? Saros. So the Medrash says, if you watch your mouth and your tongue, you're guarding mitzaras nafsho. How do you translate that?
Saras of your nefesh.
Saras of your nefesh.
Wow.
Wait. Wait, what? What's saras of your nefesh?
Like, good question.
Know, you're just go straight to your soul when we don't have it.
Straight to your heart.
No, no, no. It's worse.
It's women.
So the
Jesus.
The Chavetz Chaim says that when that the reason, the difference between saying Lashon Hara now and saying Lashon Hara 1,000 years ago is that 1,000 years ago, the tsaras that impacted the person's nefesh was expressed in the skin. Yeah?
We don't know.
Nowadays, because of whatever the reasons are, it gets of course it happens to his nefesh, that it's tsaras nafsho. That's a pasuk. Well, it's a medrash. The medrash says tsaras nafsho. So his nefesh gets tsaras. You just don't see it in the skin.
You're recording this. It's some good stuff.
Says the Chofetz Chaim. It's mamish terrifying.
You get punished in different ways. Like, you're not going to get like punished with tsaras, but like your life is going to suck.
But back then, you would get punished, you just get exiled, which is valid.
Well, because he says this is all for the benefit of a person. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do tshuva, right? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu expresses it in the skin so that we'll bring ourselves to tshuva. But we're in like Hester Panim. We don't have a Kohen.
How much sleep did you get last night?
You're supposed to go to the Kohen. And the Kohen not only is going to diagnose the Saras, what's he going to say?
Exactly.
No, he's going to give you Musser. Oh. He's going to tell you, we need to fix this, my holy son. You're going to need to fix this, you know. Let's just point this out. Let's say this very clearly, yes? If a person has a problem with Lashon Hara, yes?
Uh-huh.
How do you do tshuva for that? Stop saying Lashon Hara and commit yourself to not saying Lashon Hara again, right?
Apologize.
Well, you know that's not going to work, right? Because the reason why you're saying Lashon Hara is not the behavior of Lashon Hara. Everything that we're doing wrong that we want to change and fix and get better about, we always have to ask ourselves, why am I doing that? What's the root cause of it? If a person is listening to, the friends are talking, and somebody mentions so-and-so, and you feel inside yourself like you got to put him down, there's a reason why. Yeah? So to hold back from the behavior of saying it is a really important step. And to get used to not saying it is a really important step. But what am I saying? But really, what do you have to do? Really, you have to dig down into yourself and figure out what's at the core of this. What's the reason why I'm doing this?
If he's legitimately a bad person.
No one's a bad person, but I'm saying, but at the core is a sense of jealousy of this person, probably, that I can't handle him being praised because I'm jealous of him. Yeah, there's a core cause that you have to figure out in order to address it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps us. He says, listen, here's a problem. You know, you have to address it. But unfortunately, we live in a world where we don't have a HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing that very much. Yeah?
Rav, can I give a great example, analogy from a recent movie I saw?
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful boy about a recovering drug addict after his first overdose. It's a true story. He wakes up and sees his sponsor. And his sponsor goes like, oh, what's wrong with you? Like, what's wrong in your life? And he says, well, I'm a drug addict and I'm an alcoholic. He's like, that's not what's wrong. That's what you're using to treat your problem. What's wrong in your life? And he's like, that was the moment everything switched for me.
Right. Sheesh. Don't deal with the symptom. Deal with the cause.
Yeah. Facts. Yeah. Deep stuff.
This all happened in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, which is not the case now, Baba Nusainu Arabim. You ready for this? We don't have a Kohen to be Metaharit. He may have Kaddish Baruch, maybe he's in a Gamal Gufa person would get Saras on his body. He would remain with his Tumah forever. And he wouldn't be able to be cleansed from it. Okay, Nishara Tumas Hanega. He would be reigned with his forever. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu just, this is the way Chofetz Chaim says, the Kaddish Baruch Hu leaves it as a nega on the nefesh, and it doesn't get expressed into the body so that we won't have that problem, because we wouldn't be able to deal with it. Okay. The person has to be very careful and make sure he's working. Are you ready? You ready? I'm a little scared to read this. You ready?
All
right. Okay, he says like this.
Are we onase right now? Are you ruining our life right now by saying this?
I think so.
Oh, no.
HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our times. You ready? I'm threatening you. You ready? I'm going to scare you. I'm going to scare me too. I'm doing this for me, not for you. I'm going to scare you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put us in a world where he does not show our nefesh's saras to other people. You hear what I said? We're in a world where a Kaddish Baruch Hu doesn't show the tzaras on our nefesh to other people.
You can't see tzaras.
We know because we say Lashon Hara. But wait. Al Kolpanim, at the end of the day, after a person dies and his neshama is no longer connected to his guf in the same way, it's going to be revealed all of the tzaras of his nefesh to all of the other souls. Oh my gosh. V'chol od she'tei devuka chalas azua ma'azu benefesh, as long as that's there, a person never did tshuva in their life, they get a tshuva. If a person never did tshuva for the Lashon Hara when they were alive, v'vadai, for sure, la'yavoy menuga b'heichal Hashem b'gan Eden. A person has saras, not allowed in Beis HaMikdash. A person has saras, he says, he's for sure not going to be allowed to go into the heichal Hashem, the Beis HaMikdash above, in Gan Eden. Oyvei. Whoa. Vitzarech leishev badad, he'll have to go through the tzaras process outside Gan Eden, outside Heich Hashem Gan Eden, l'malachutz v'machne Yisrael, outside Machne Yisrael, which is the Mokom HaKlipas, Yechitzonim, im lo asa tshuva karoy, if he didn't do a proper tshuva.
We can skip the shaving step, though.
Skip the shaving step.
Wait, but what if you never told me that tzaras, right?
I don't know if they get a buzz cut.
That's exactly this point. Is that the tzaras on the skin is an expression of the tzaras on the nefesh.
So you're saying that
don't make a mistake. We get tzaras with Manazet. Don't make a mistake. 100% of the tzaras with Manazet. It's just you can't see it. But we know we said Lashon Hara. We know what we did. So we have to do tshuva. We don't do tshuva. Chas v'shalom. We're going to end up with saras and our nefesh is going to remain there when we die.
So it's basically like a disease that like lacks a symptom. And then like we know like when we're getting it. But like, you know, there's no visible symptom.
Okay, now last point. Chofetz Chaim says, I have one more thing to tell you. And this is not nearly as threatening. One more thing to tell you. That the whole process of a matzora is to get him someplace. What am I talking about? I spoke about root causes a minute ago, right? There's the symptom and there's the cause. So really, the process of the metzora, going outside the machane, having to be embarrassed, yeah? That's supposed to make him a humble person that's thinking about others a little bit more. And not a person that feels, I can say whatever I want, right? The facts don't care about your feelings. I can say whatever I want. I can do whatever I want. I can say about you. I can put you down. I can control you because I'm not getting what I want. So I'll control you. I mean, this comes from gaiva, from arrogance. So if a person's forced to be humble, so it really changes the way that he relates to things. And that's the goal of the process of the Mitzvah. So says the Chofetz Chaim, it doesn't mean there aren't necessarily other ways today to accomplish that goal. Rahman al-Itzlani says, it could be that if a person becomes very, very poor and has to rely on other people, maybe that's a result. Maybe that's a result of Lashon Hara. Maybe there are other situations that we're in. Because remember, Hashem is our personal trainer. Everything we go through that's annoying and frustrating and challenging, all the things we go through in life, you know why we're going through them?
Why?
Because Hashem's our personal trainer. These are exercises. And we're supposed to remember that. How does Hashem want me to take this in? How am I supposed to digest this? What's Hashem telling me? And sometimes it's clear, sometimes it's not as clear. But one thing, I love to say this, I think it's so true, is that when we go through experiences, you can always say to yourself, well, what did I get out of it? What was I forced to change because of it? What I'm saying is like this. Sometimes people say, why did this happen to me? That's very hard to answer. unless you really feel like you know. But what's easier to say is, what was I forced to change because of this? Ooh. So, you know, like COVID. We had to do things differently. Yeah? I don't know what caused COVID, but I do know a number of things that I gained from the things I had to change because of COVID. So if a person is stuck outside the machane, if a person's stuck having to rely on other people, if a person's stuck having to ask people for help on homework, if a person's stuck having to go through certain things that make a person feel humble, so guaranteed that was an exercise in humility. So that's what Chofetz Chaim says. It could be that that's also the way that we go through the Tzaras process, as man as that, is by things that accomplish the same goal, even though it's not exactly the same process. Tzaras bizman hazeh.
Good?
Sheesh, bro.